light at the end of the debt downgrade, a bailout on the horizon for Greece.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Germany has just said it would approve a loan for cash-strapped Greece as soon as next week, if Athens can hammer things out with the International Monetary Fund and other European leaders. Germany plans to chip in about $11 billion. That would make it the biggest contributor to the planned $60 billion bailout of Greece. Yesterday, Standard & Poor's downgraded Greece's debt status to junk. That would make it very hard for Greece to borrow money. In the meantime, the Greek government has said it will have to cut salaries, pensions, and thousands of jobs. From Athens, Joanna Kakissis has more.
The Greek finance minister insists there's no way his country is going to default. But promises are not calming markets. That's because economists say the Greek government won't be able to sell key spending cuts to an already angry Greek public. And they may be right. Polls show most Greeks strongly oppose more spending cuts. Teacher Aphrodite Braza joined hundreds at a protest in Athens.
Because most of us are working people and we are living just from our salaries. We have nothing else.
Meanwhile, European tensions are starting to boil over. Germany is the biggest economy in Europe, but it says it won't sign off on a bailout unless Greece makes the deep budget cuts. The Greek government has said it's listening to those German demands, but many Greeks aren't as diplomatic. They're angry that some German politicians and media are portraying them as lazy, corrupt freeloaders. One radio host responded by likening the Germans to a country of cheap, unhappy misers. In Athens, I'm Joanna Kakissis for Marketplace.
Word of a bailout is giving markets a lift this morning. London's FTSE is up 0.1%. Germany's DAX is down 0.5%, though it was down 2% earlier. U.S. markets had a terrible Tuesday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell nearly 2%, closing below 11,000 at 10,991. One stock that bucked that trend? Goldman Sachs. The investment bank jumped 0.2% yesterday, despite the fact most of its executives spent nearly 11 hours on Capitol Hill getting grilled by lawmakers. Here to talk Goldman with us is our very own Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. She joins us live. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
Nancy, why exactly were Goldman executives hauled before the subcommittee?
Well, the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations is investigating what part investment banks might have played in the financial crisis. And specifically, Goldman is accused of selling shaky investments to clients without telling them it was betting against those very same investments. Now, this is a Senate investigation, Stacey. It has nothing to do with the Securities and Exchange Commission lawsuit that was filed earlier this month against Goldman.
Well, what do Goldman's clients think of all this? Is Goldman going to lose business?
Well, I asked Lawrence White about that. He's dean of the Stern School of Business at New York University. And he says yesterday's testimony could raise questions in some clients' minds.
But there may be some clients who will say, you know, these guys are starting to sort of talk behind our backs. Maybe they don't have our best interests at heart after all. Maybe we ought to at least pull back some of our transactions.
But White also says that Goldman CEO Lloyd Blankfein had a point when he said yesterday that Goldman works with sophisticated investors. Blankfein says they were looking for risk, and that's what they got.
Indeed. Goldman, of course, got a chance to make its case yesterday. Its stock actually went up. But overall, not a great day for Goldman.
Oh, exactly. Not a great day at all, especially because senators grilled Goldman executives about emails they wrote describing investments they had sold as junk, crap, or even using words that I can't say on the radio, Stacey, which they said frequently in the hearing. This is the email equivalent of having your dirty laundry aired in public.
What about the financial overhaul bill that's been stalled in the Senate? Would Goldman's hearing give any momentum to that?
We'll find out today. The Senate is scheduled once again to vote on whether to start debate on this bill. Republicans have been filibustering the measure since Monday, and Democrats just haven't had enough votes to overcome the filibuster and proceed to the debate.
Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. Nancy, thank you.
You're welcome.
The GOP, by the way, unveiled its own version of that finance reform bill yesterday. Among the differences, a ban on bailouts. No more too big to fail.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the new Harvard Business Review, a source of smart thinking for today's business world. The revival of smart begins at hbr.org. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
It seems ads are popping up in ever more exotic places. Airplane tray tables, bathroom stalls, even school buses. That one got the attention of the Federal Trade Commission. It's worried about the effect those ads will have on kids. So it's launching a campaign today to teach kids how to deal with all those ads. Elisa Roth has more.
The campaign is called Edmongo, and it's aimed at so-called tweens. There's an online game that's supposed to help kids recognize ads and understand what goes into making them. Janet Evans is an attorney in the FTC's advertising division. She says the campaign also includes extensive materials for teachers and parents. It's all about opening kids' eyes.
So that they come into it with a much better understanding of what the purpose of advertising is, how it works, and to teach them to be savvier consumers, to be critical, have a critical eye when they look at advertising.
It's not that earlier generations haven't been exposed to advertising, but there are suddenly so many more ways for marketers to target kids. Susan Lin directs the campaign for a commercial-free childhood. It's a national advocacy group, and she says the FTC is wasting its time.
The fundamental mission of advertising is to make us, you know, believe that we need these products. And that doesn't have to do with cognition. It has to do with our feelings and our emotions.
She says the U.S. lags far behind other industrialized countries in regulating ads to kids. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, 7 years ago today, Apple launched the iTunes Music Store. Illegal file sharing was popular at the time, and many people thought Apple would never get people to pay for music. To date, iTunes has sold more than 10 billion songs. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.